Last time we did, we ended in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's the end of a section that's talking about hypocrisy. When you pray, don't be like a hypocrite. When you give, don't be like a hypocrite. When you fast, don't be like a hypocrite. And now he's saying in 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And I think no man serving two masters is a continuation. Hey, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth. Because you know what? At the end of the day, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to serve Jesus Christ or you're going to serve money. Those are the two in view. And now he says in verse 25, therefore. And I always stop when there's a therefore or a wherefore. What is it therefore? And so I thought, like, wait a second, this connects. This isn't like, you know, carriage return, you know, period, carriage return, full stop. This is in the same, okay, new topic, Jesus says. Now he starts, no, I think it flows naturally. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now, let's see what this says, and let's see what it doesn't says, okay? Don't serve two gods. That's the basis for this. And I'll show you why I think that's, therefore, is the connector. Now, in this aspect of not serving two gods, don't think about, take no thought, about what you're going to eat. Should be a surprise every time, right? Like I told you, when you give, don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. Now, if you did that, the only way I can conceive of doing that is take a big bunch of money, a worthwhile portion, right? Throw it all into a hat. When the offering comes by, reach in with your left hand, because you don't want your left hand know what your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Reach in with your left hand, and when it comes around, just kind of and throw it in. There you go. You didn't know what you're right now. If you're taking things at face value, does Jesus talk in hyperbole? Sometimes. I don't think you can give without, have you ever, when you give, if you do it by check, I think your left hand is holding the other side of the check so it doesn't, you know, when you're holding paper when you're writing on it. For people who still do that. I don't even know if people do that, right? Checks, that's so 20th century. But if I wrote out a check, and theoretically, I think I might have one time or not. I don't know. But I can't do that with my right hand does it, and my eyes don't know what. I mean, I think what he's trying to do is keep it on the down low, right? Now, he's saying the same thing about food, right? Don't just reach into the cupboard. Okay, this looks like a can. Maybe it's a can. Oh, good, cream of mushroom, I'm hoping. Oh, pinto beans. So that's what I'm having tonight because I didn't take any thought because it's saying don't take any thought. Don't take thought about what you're going to wear. Now, you say, now, if I don't explain that correctly, every woman's going to just, I'm not coming to church here anymore. So, and by the way, it matters. It matters. I see you all wore raiment. It's a good choice. In February and Maine, some choices are made for us. I get it. When I was working tent making, they cared that I took some thought, okay? They really did. I had to show up and on time. It doesn't, I have no concern about anything, never planned. This isn't what it's saying, obviously. I had to show up, and I had to wear the uniform of the day, right? High viz. Dungarees, couldn't wear shorts, right? I had to wear, steel toe boots. They cared. I had to take some thought. Okay, if it's not, take no thought. And many of you are way ahead of me because you have a different version that says take no anxious thought, or it says don't be anxious about. This is not saying, okay, just live your life willy-nilly and never plan anything. It's certainly not saying that. Let's not be anxious about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or for your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? Are we serving these appetites and these necessities, clothes are a necessity, or are we serving the Lord? Okay? Don't get, okay, the first roadblock, the first why in the road we come to is God or mammon. Okay, we navigated that one successfully. We were on the God track. The next why in the road is anxiety or faith, now that we're serving God, okay? It presupposes that we're on board. Everyone else who doesn't know God, they better be anxious. There's a lot of stuff happening, right? And if God's not taking care of them, they better take care of themselves. Now, they don't understand God causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. But if I didn't know God or didn't worship, or I'd be a basket case about what's going on now. Now people think I'm like happy-go-lucky, or then their mom had a lot of anxiety. Mom had a lot of anxiety. Mom was the poster child for anxiety. She worried and worried, and she thought if she didn't worry enough, the bad thing that she thought might happen would happen. But she warded off, you know, her juju against bad things was how much worry she worried. And I told her, and I challenged her sometimes, I said, Mom, factor in God. And she just never had that ability to just, it'll work out. Why am I worrying about stuff that probably will never happen? She never, till the day she died, she just was always that person. I don't know. Is chemical imbalance in the brain? I don't think so. I'm not a doctor, so take that from whence it comes. Is it just that you're so used to, every time a certain thing happens, it's a well-worn track. I always do this, and I always do this, and I always do this. And now you ask me to do something different? No, I can't do it. I don't know. But this is the cure for care, for anxiety. I'm not asking you to live careless. And I think we all understand that. But having said, concern yourself with things, but not in an anxious way. I can give so many examples of this that we'll never move forward. I'm going to use the example he uses. Now, we're not ones to think about clothes. We have a whole wardrobe, right? We have a whole closet full of clothes, all right? And we're not usually, you know, we come to church on Sunday and we get all our finery on and we worry about, oh, this sweater. I think the guys have already seen me in this. I can't wear this sweater. It's too yucky. I got to buy a new sweater. We're not those people at all. Now, I have dressed on occasion. I've married people, like when he was in a tux and she was in a bridal gown, and they don't want me to look like a hobo. So there is actual planning goes into it and stuff like this. So, it was never anxiety. I mean, not clothes, me? No. What shall I eat? No. What I'm going to drink? No. Now, he gives an example. Behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. Man, are they lazy? No. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now listen, their heavenly Father doesn't feed them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. You mean my heavenly Father cares about birds? Yeah, he does. Is that mind-boggling to you? Because it is to me a little bit. God cares about birds? Yeah. He feeds them. Which of you by taking thought, anxious thought, which of you by being anxious can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, who wants to add a whole cubit to your stature? It's like 18 inches, right? Who wants to be 18 inches taller? At this point in my life, I sure don't. Maybe when I was 19 or looking at the NBA draft, maybe, but certainly a whole foot. And what woman wants to be like a foot and a half taller, right? I don't think that's what it's saying. And it is, the idea is a cubit. But I think it means like, not to your stature, your height, but your length in the sense of like, you can't take one extra step by worrying. When it's over, when your time's done, guess what? That's where we'll find you. We'll tipped over right where you can't add even one step. As a matter of fact, you could probably subtract a whole lot of steps. Anxiety is a killer. You know what is going to give you a heart attack? Stress. And in the meantime, it's going to give you all kinds of nasty conditions. You're going to have what's that when you get a hole in your stomach from worry? Ulcer. You're going to get an ulcer before you have a heart attack, and you're going to just make people all around you crazy, and you're going to cause all kinds of anxiety, and you're just going to it'll kill you dead. And you know, we're living in that place where it says men's hearts failing them for fear. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. You're either concerned or you're not paying attention. And if you're concerned in the right way, you know, I was reading Facebook, it was either yesterday or the day before, and I was thinking, this could be a prayer list. I mean, it really could. Do you approve of the job that the president's doing? Lord, I want the current administration to be, you know, godly and good and do this and this and this. And are you concerned illegal elections? Are you concerned about that? Yeah, I sure am. If somebody who I don't want is elected and they win the election fair and square, okay. I still don't like that outcome, but it's America. You know, to the victor goes the spoils, and on we go. But boy, when I feel like they stole it, don't you want fair elections? And then something to pray about. Lord, I pray that you know, any wrongdoing would be uncovered, and people would go to jail, and people would understand that our vote is a sacred thing, and Lord, that you would have your will. And isn't? Am I the only one who's thinking that way? Now, I'm not saying that I've always done that. I'm saying the opportunity is there. And the things that you worry about are the things that you should be praying about. Now, if you're not a worry person, like I'm not a worry person, that means don't pray. That means you've successfully navigated. You understand that God is sovereign, and we don't get all worked up and nerved up about stuff that may never happen, and we couldn't change even if we knew they were going to happen, right? They found some kind of growth on some kind of body part, right? My liver, okay? And they're going to do a biopsy. And I'm not nervous enough because people aren't, well, aren't you worried? Aren't you, oh my goodness, aren't you? No, get a grip. No, I don't, it might be like nothing. And if I worry, will it go away? Aren't you concerned? Yes. I'm very concerned. I don't want a lump on my anything, right? So I say, Lord, I don't know what this is. I'm kind of a little anxious about it. Will you take this away? Our anxiety list becomes our prayer list. And I have seen this. When we pray to God in such a way that it's like when we talk to others about what's going on. You see what they're doing? Oh, my goodness. Oh, and we're all up in arms and we're like, and that's how we pray. Can I mention to you that's not prayer? It's not. It's hysteria aimed at God. And this is what I think, how we can really apply this. Are they doing bad things? Yes, they, they are in the lap of the wicked one, those who aren't saved. Is that a nightmare to you? Because it gives me nightmares. Be that as it may, okay, I get it. Let's pray about it. Because I don't know that ever, like, freaking out is what God is requiring of any of us. And why do you care about clothes? And this is a good one. Consider the lilies. Now we're considering lilies. You know what lilies are a sign of? innocence. I looked it up. I was watching a show last night, me and Suze were, and the flowers that they brought to this opening or something, they were all mean-spirited. They weren't, and I didn't know flowers had symbols. And then, like, at the funeral, they bought all these, and they were kind of like, I'm sorry kind of flowers. They all meant, like, regret and remorse, and I didn't know. Well, lilies are a sign of innocence. I thought that was appropriate. Except if it's red, then it's a symbol of passion. But can you have innocence and passion together? I guess if you're happily married, I suppose that's fine. But white is of not only innocence but purity. So the colors matter too, all right? In case you were wondering. So I'm considering lilies. They grow, they don't toil, they don't spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I think Solomon's mentioned 5 times in his gospel. I think it's always an adverse comparison. He doesn't measure up. He doesn't even measure up to lilies. And, you know, you think about, like, how he was, I mean, he's living in a kingdom where, like, silver, that's like rocks. We don't even count that, ain't nothing, right? And gold is, he's got peacocks and ivory coming in, and he's got, you know, bands playing at his house, and he's got, never mind about his love life. That's, we didn't want to go there. I think our boy is bored. You don't think part of that was his, did he read Gentleman's Quarterly, and did he dress appropriately? Hey, this is what all the best kings are wearing, you know what I mean? Oh, he had some pomp and stuff. He had regalia. He was wearing, you know, he was a king from a mile away, you know what I mean? And he wasn't even dressed like the lilies, Jesus is saying. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? This is a term Jesus uses several times. And you know what our problem is? And he hits it right on the head. We don't have faith. If we have anxiety, we don't have faith. If we have faith, we don't have anxiety. How long should you pray? Till the anxiety goes away. Lord, I'm very concerned about this. I'm very anxious. This happened, and it's like beyond my control, and I don't want it to happen. This person, you know, mom got a bad report from the doctor, or this one here is dying, and they're not saved, and, oh, Lord, please. I'm not saying don't be concerned. I'm saying trust in God, because that's what Jesus is saying. This is the cure. Okay, we took the God road instead of the mammon road. Now are we going to take the anxiety road or the faith road? He's saying, you know, your problem is you have little faith. Don't you understand how God works? He cares about you a lot more than he cares about lilies. He cares about you. You know, give us this day our daily bread. Don't you think he knows we need bread? Of course he knows that we need bread. And he wants us to ask, does he care about feeding us? Does he know we need food? Does he know we need stuff to drink? Does he know we need a house overhead? Does he know we need clothes? When you pray, we're sophisticated enough to understand this about prayer. We're not informing God. Okay, and I've heard prayers, and it's just silly. You know, Bill Smith, you know God who lives down on Johnson Drive there, and what are you doing? And so we're not informing God. Oh, Lord, I need a job. He knows. He gave us his only begotten son. With him, won't he freely give us all things? That's what the scripture teaches. This is Jesus teaching it here in a way that we can grab right hold of it. If God clothes the grass of the field, if he feeds sparrows, if he takes care of everything, therefore, take no thought, no anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Read here, unbeliever. Remember, at this time, there's no church. There's Jew and Gentile. Okay? Now this, and I want to remind us, and I was thinking about this earlier today, this is a very, very Jewish gospel. Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, king of the Jews. It's about the messiahship of Jesus Christ. It's very Jewish. So here when he says, you know, there, for all these things do the Gentiles, he's just saying non-believers, non-Jewish people. And if you are a non-believer, what's it all about? Clothes and food and house, and I want the best house. And I, you know, God knows I need a car, right? And I just want the best, most finest. I want, like, I want my BMW to be my second car that, you know, I take out when I don't care, you know, what, you know, if the weather's all bad or, you know what I mean? Right? Yeah, Gentiles seek after all that stuff, don't they? And if you own a BMW, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I mean, I'm really not. There's no problem. God's not down on wealth. He gives people wealth. He's down on you trusting in wealth. He's down on you worshiping wealth. He doesn't want you to lay up treasure on earth. It's a heart issue. It's not, because people lay up treasure on earth, they don't have any treasure. They're all about trying to make the score, trying to get and trying to, and they buy their lottery tickets and all that. And all these things Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Praise God. I don't tell him anything, not inform him. Do I go over the certain things that are bothering me? Yeah. Yeah. And do you know what he never says? Oh, thank you for bringing that to my attention. I wasn't aware of that, said God. Never, right? I'm glad he knows. I think he's answering prayers that I don't even ask. The Holy Spirit interceding for us. Because I'm not praying, Lord, make me a more patient person. And that shows, right? Don't you say nothing. But I'm not. But he knows I need patience. He knows I can't be impatient with people. That's not a shepherd thing, right? He knows that. I think he answers prayers that I don't even ask. I'm glad of it. But he knows what I need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. If that's not a cure for care, I don't know how to help. You just worry yourself right into a frazzle. You know what Jesus says? I want you to concern yourself with the things of God. All the other stuff will it'll all sort itself out. You have to trust me that God's in charge. God's in control. He knows how to bless. And he blesses those that concern themselves with him. Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Don't think about tomorrow. That's not what he's saying. Don't be anxious about it. Don't borrow trouble. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Tomorrow, this is what he's saying, okay? Because, you know, what is sufficient unto the day is the... Tomorrow will show up with all the troubles of itself. You don't have to borrow some from today to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, you'll be concerned. The things that are going to happen tomorrow, you can concern yourselves with them at that time. Oh, you know, what if there's a tidal wave? What if there's not? You know what I mean? We worry about things, even unlikely things, even things that never happened or probably out of the realm of, and we get all nerved up about, and he's saying, no, will you just put the kingdom of God first? How am I going to serve God better? How am I going to more reflect Jesus Christ? How am I going to be less hypocritical? I know Jesus hates hypocrisy. Lord, what's hypocritical in my life, and how do we get rid of that? I'll take care of you. That's what he's saying. I, for one, am very happy. Early on, we discovered this. I mean, how long are you reading the Bible before you come across the Sermon on the Mount? Is it helpful? It's all the help. Now, I'm not saying I got it the first time. I read it and I adopted all the, I still haven't got it. I mean, you know, I still don't live it out. You can teach something and not have it always true. Is it hypocrisy in my life? Oh, God knows, yeah. I try not to be, not on purpose, but is there room for improvement? Oh, yeah, lots. Yeah, lots. Okay, chapter 7, you never thought we'd make it, you unbelievers, you. I am going slow, but that's like for a reason, because I want to cover these things. I want to get it in such a way that it's a real benefit. I don't want to be, this says this, and be, real casual about it, cavalier. I don't think it's cavalier. I don't think any scripture is, but this more than many. Okay, judge not, that ye be not judged. And when the backsliders say this to us, they even use the King James, and they're so cute. Now, of course, this is talking about not judging, and I want you to not judge at all, ever, under any circumstances, ever. Now, if we jump down to verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Who are dogs? Well, you got to make a judgment call there, don't you? If you're not going to cast what's holy to dogs, don't you have to figure out, make a judgment call who dogs are? And when it says, neither cast your pearls before swine, would you rather be a swine or a dog? You guys are neither. But those aren't complimentary terms. Now, were you ever in a pig pen or by a pig pen where you thought, like, that if I just throw my pearl necklace down, that pig will probably pick it up and wear it, and he'll look a lot better. That's not what he's talking about, obviously. So what is he talking about? And we have to say, okay, what is a swine, and what is casting pearls before? Well, we'll get there. But you're making a judgment call. Now, what are we told not to judge? Motives. Okay? I don't know why you're doing the thing you're doing. And maybe you have a very good reason. But I've already thought you're a rebel and a ne'er-do-well and a cut purse and all kinds of old-fashioned insults. Right? I've made up my mind. Don't do that. Don't judge a book by its cover. America, we're great. We read a headline on a paper and we know all about the whole thing. Where we know if they're guilty, if they're innocent, and what the punishment should be. And I know it all. I read it in the paper the other day, back when papers were a thing, right? We know everything. I think that's in part. Innocent until proven guilty? Is that a thing? That's a Jewish jurisprudence thing, long before there was an America. Oh, the landmass was here, but it wasn't the United States of America. They had that same presumption of innocence. Their court thing wasn't like our court thing, but they had rules. Real rules. Chuck Missler does a real good job of this. If you're listening, if you're following him, he was talking about when he was in the Gospels, he's talking about the trials of Jesus. Everyone more illegal than the next. Everything about them was just against Jewish law, okay? But you ought to make judgments. Again, if we're in a legal situation, you're on a jury, are you judging? Yeah. So I'm not saying don't be discerning, and we ought to be fruit inspectors. We're not to judge motives, okay? Somebody's wrestling with this sin or that sin, and they're really, really, really broke up about it. We can help, we can pray, we can encourage. You lousy, you still messing around? Are you kidding me right now? You're just no good. No, it's important how we arrive at our conclusions. And don't judge motives. You don't have access to people's hearts. God does. He understands hypocrisy. And if you love somebody and you see them in sin, it's not like, well, I got no right to judge. You have every right to love. Okay, in case you're wondering, Yeah, I can talk to him about this. I know this ain't going to end up in a good place. And you see that and you concern yourself with it. Are you being a hypocrite? You're being a help. For with what judgment ye judge, and you're going to judge, and you're going to make judgments, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Are you okay with that? Because I was very, very prayerful, and I was very loving, and I was very concerned, and I saw fruit, and it didn't quite come up to what it should be, and I was really concerned for the brother, so I came and I talked to him, and I poured out my heart, and I said, I'm really concerned about this. Do I want that kind of judgment to me? Yes, bring it. Do I want to be loved is what you're asking. Yes, yes. Oh, Adam, he don't know, he's a bad guy. Do you want to be judged like that? Well, this is just the golden rule applied. You see, as he explains it all out, he's saying, don't be non-discerning. He's saying, okay, this judgment thing, you got to be real careful here. The way you judge is the way it's going to be judged back on you. Are you good with that? Well, how's your judgment? Is it with love and concern? And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? This is almost comical. I love this. Our sins look so much worse on everybody else. If I do hypocrisy, I get that, but I'm working on that. You do it. Oh, my goodness, look at this. I cannot believe the hypocrisy in this room right now. Oh, my, just off the charts. But with me, it's one of the little things, the nuanced little. Once I get this, I'm going to be perfect. Once I defeat hypocrisy, I'm going to be right where I'm supposed to be. Perfect, perfect, right? Why are we noticing motes in our brother's eye? Because it's probably what we're projecting. It's probably true of ourselves too. You know what I mean? That's always a thing. Well, okay, you want to help. I get that. Well, you got to take the beam out of your own eye first. You got to deal with stuff at home, don't you? If I really had you got a little speck in your eye, I can help. I got nearsightedness just enough that. So I was wearing glasses. I used to wear contacts and to read. Now I got this big print Bible. I don't need it. And my left eye is going towards nearsightedness, so I can read. Even small print, even in low light. My right eye is still good for distances. So my astigmatism gives me between the two eyes, not 20/20, but I can manage. I can do real pretty good, right? So I can help you. You got eyelashes? Let me get it. But if I got a toothpick or a beam or a plank hanging out of my eye, you're going to go, no, you ain't helping me. Go take care of that first. That's sensible, Jesus. That's very helpful. Thank you. You see that? Or how will you say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You little hypocrite. First cast the beam out of your own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And when you dealt with your own sin, right, you're going to be in a much better place to help somebody else with theirs. Who makes the best, drug and alcohol counselors? People who have been through that. It works the same with abortion. And I'm not saying if you're going to do drug and alcohol, you better take some drugs and then beat it so you'll know. I'm not saying anything like that. But I'm saying when you've dealt with sin, you know what used to be a big problem of mine? XYZ. And then the guy who's in XYZ, I can really be a benefit to him. Not in a haughty, arrogant way. He won't want that. But hey, I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. Been through the same thing. Take the beam out. Now we're helpful. I think that's that is a straight head teaching. Is you can't make it any plainer. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. He's not talking about canines, and he's not talking about pigs, obviously. If you threw pearls in a pig pen, they'd trample them, and then they'd attack you. Probably not, right? Do pigs attack you because you throw them jewelry? And who would do that? Who would do that? It's interesting to me. He's talking about two non-kosher things here, swine and pearls. Pearls aren't prized by Jews because they're made by oysters, and oysters are non-kosher. To this day, they will trade in them, they will sell them, but they don't usually adorn themselves in them. That's definitely a Gentile thing. Now, if you have a string of pearls at home, why don't you go home and throw them in the dustbin? No, I don't want that at all. My point is, he's talking about something valuable, and you're casting before swine. These are people. These are different levels of people. You're saying, boy, that's harsh. What are dogs? Well, you look at Scripture. It's the one that has gone back and returned to the vomit, and Peter. You know, dogs, happily, they do this so that we have we have an illustration. Dogs throw up, and they say, hey, that ain't half bad, and they go back and lick it up, and that is disgusting with a capital D, right? So, well, you don't want somebody who's in that back to their own. You know, it's disgusting. Somebody who's in the sin they used to be in, and they get out and freed from it. Now they're back in it. What's a dog? You got to look through Scripture and see what it means to be a dog, and then what it means to be a pig. And those people, I don't. This, you know, what I want to do with non-believers? Basically, share the gospel. This some I call it family stuff. When you're in a family, we can talk on a different level than I can talk to an unbeliever. And I'm not treating people like, you know, first and second class citizens. You know, we're supposed to love those, especially the family of God. And this is how they know you're my disciples, the love you have for one another. The love you Christians have for other Christians. That's what Jesus is saying. The love you have for the world. He could have said that. Should you love the world? Well, of course you should love the world. God so loved the world. But priority one, and so we make a distinction between Christians and non-Christians. And that which is holy, there's some stuff I think, I can give you a really super good example here. But we're talking about stuff that, you know, like, I don't encourage non-Christians to, well, all these things we're talking about, your Heavenly Father knows need that you have, and he's going to give you all things. No, he's not. Not if he's not your Heavenly Father. My father never gave the neighborhood kids everything. He gave us all the things that we needed. Right? Any dollar I had left over at the end of the week, I'd just find a neighborhood kid and give it. Right? No, I took care of my kids and their friends sometimes. You know, that goes without saying. But I wasn't dad to the neighborhood and didn't want to be. But I took care of my own kids. And this, I think, is what God, Jesus is promising to about your Heavenly Father. Now you say, well, Adam, it rains on the just and the unjust. Isn't God gracious? But he's not bound to give everybody everything. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. They won't appreciate it. Swine don't appreciate your jewelry, your pearls. Your great pearls of wisdom, they don't appreciate it. You know what they're going to do? They're going to step all over what you just told them. They're going to turn around and mess you up, mess with you and trample you underfoot. Have you ever had that happen? Oh, welcome to my life. Welcome to yours. You've tried it. And he's saying, don't do that. You know what they need? They need the gospel. They need the word of God, but they need it in such a way. You know, I don't want to, one of the things I say, like, to people come visit, I don't know if they're Christians or not. I'll say, you know, I'm not asking you to give, we got this. You know one of the reasons I say that? Have anyone ever known that? Well, I don't want them to feel uncomfortable, feeling like we're just after your money. Two, I don't want them to give. Adam, their money spends just like anybody else's. That's not the point. They think they did something religious, and now they're closer to God, and they're better off. I would never want them to think that. I would never want them to think that. You're in peril every day of your life that you're not saved. You need to get saved in the worst way. You could have got saved yesterday. Oh, you gave a couple bucks, now you think you're okay? I don't want to like have a message on giving when sinners are around and they're to the point where they feel like they should be giving. No, you need to get saved. And I've cast pearls before swine. I've been trampled. My pearls, my erudition has been trampled, and I've then been turned around and been attacked. Oh, I meant it for good. I was trying to, but Jesus told me, and I should have listened to him. Ask and it shall be given you. You know, don't take any anxious thought. Several verses, right? Worry about tomorrow, don't worry about your clothes, don't worry about your food, don't worry about your drink. You know, ask and it shall be given to you. Isn't that what he says that not in so many words in what we call the Lord's Prayer. You know, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Ask and it shall be given you. Didn't work. I prayed to win the lottery and I haven't won it yet. God's a liar. Are there any stipulations on this asking? My kids ask for things, and this loving father who loved his kids. So, you know, what am I talking? You know, did you give them everything they asked for? Oh my goodness, no. Why? Because they were dumb little kids. If God gave me everything I asked for, it wouldn't be pretty. It just wouldn't be pretty. Why? Because I'm a dumb little kid, you know, comparatively so. I don't ask for patience and holiness and righteousness and, Lord, look at my life, see if there be any unclean thing in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Do you pray that? Well, I do now. There are years and years I wouldn't pray that. I don't look too close, Lord. You're going to see some stuff that probably shouldn't be there. You know how it is, or maybe you don't. Maybe you've always been right what you're supposed to be. But I've struggled and I've grown and but you ask and it shall be given you. And that, by the way, it means ask and keep on asking, continuous present. So I have heard from the Name and Claim It group, and they say, you just ask once. If you ask more than that, that's lack of faith. Well, if they were reading it in the Greek, they wouldn't say silly things like this. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What? Well, everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Has God ever answered any of your prayers? Well, of course he has. This is it. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, he will give him a stone? Well, I never did, okay? I never gave my kids a rock to chew on when they asked for some bread. Here, pass the bread. You know, here's a stone. Yeah, who does that? That's just crazy stuff. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then being evil... And I am, and I was. But I'm telling you, and I'm telling you also, you never give your kid a rock or a serpent. If you then being evil, me then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and we do, How much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So how come he didn't give me the thing that I asked for? I mean, this is a real problem. A real problem. I asked for something, and I knocked, and I besought the Lord with tears. Lord, why didn't he give it to me? Adam, sit down. This might be tough on you, but maybe it wasn't a good thing or good for you at the time. And his answers are yes, no, and wait. And a no is as good as a yes, in that he's not going to give you something that's going to hurt you. The lottery winning, and I actually did pray for that times ago, and I actually took part in lotteries way back when. Oh, we were poor. We were poor as church mice. We had to get several more dollars to be up to church mice level. We were so, so poor. And I'd buy things like lottery tickets, and I'd pray. Never got it. And it would have ruined me, for sure. For sure. And he said, Adam, I love you. No. Praise his holy name. He didn't want to ruin me. And there are a lot of things that sometimes you have to figure some stuff out. I don't want this one to die. They're sick and it doesn't look good. And I don't want them to die. I want them to get better. Well, they get worse. So I pray. And they don't get better, they die. I got a problem. He didn't answer my prayer. What's going on here? What are you going to do? I quit. I'm done. That's an option. Is it your best option? Now I got a dead whoever, and I don't have God in my life. I've turned my back on him. Or is he the only wise God, where it says in Scripture? Are his thoughts above our thoughts like the heaven is above the earth? No, everyone we pray for doesn't get saved. He says he wants us to pray for our loved ones, and he wants us to pray for people who are sick or situations. Somebody's out of work and looking for work. Yeah, I'll pray for that. Yeah. There's a lot of things going on that we pray for. A lot of worthwhile things. And sometimes God shows up and wins the day, and sometimes he does his God stuff in a way that, and he doesn't explain. I'll tell you this about God, because people come up and they're all tore up. And Adam, why? Can I help you cry? I can't even better that. Do I know why? You're saying why, and God, don't you remember the distance, heaven, earth? And here I am, little tiny-brained earthling, and he's God way up in heaven, and he sees everything and everything and everything. And I have an idea that when I stand before him, I'm not dragging him to some court in the sky called fairness, but I will see the why enough so that it's not going to be an eternal question. He's going to say, you see what I did? See what I did here? Oh, Lord, you were so good. You were so gracious. You were so God. And maybe there'll be people there who I want to, won't be there, who I want to be there. And he'll wipe away all tears from your eyes. I don't know. I'm praying for a long time, and things don't always turn out the way that I want them to. I'll say that. But I know God's not evil, and he knows how to give good things to them that ask him. That's what the Bible says, and that's what I'm going to believe, okay? Sometimes it doesn't look that way. I just have to relook at it. I have to re-examine the situation in God's life. I've been praying for America for a long time. You guys know that? Anyone know that? I've been praying for America for a long time. And we are as divided a nation as ever happened. You're thinking, why can't these people just come to the front, get some common sense, repent, and then we'll all be... And I was praying about this. And I felt God saying, it's my judgment. You've been sinning for a long, long time. It's judgment time. Ouch. No, I don't want judgment, Lord. I want us to just be blessed forever. I want the, and while we're talking about no judgment. I want the rapist to go free and the murderer to go free. And if you sold drugs to people and they died, I want you to go free. I want everyone to go free. I don't want anyone to ever be judged for anything, right? No, I want justice. Well, God's saying, this is my justice. I need to be doing this at this time. Now, what's the future hold? What's the future portend? Are we going to all have national repentance and a lot of people going to come to the Lord? I'd like to make America the hottest place in the world to go to hell from. I ain't going to do it single-handed. I'd like to be part of that. Does God want us to be part of that? There are a lot of people who don't want that. I don't know what to say. I want him to override their free will, but I don't want him to override mine. You see how that works? Listen, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. And if you're, you know, you're reading all this, and you're going to stand and say, Adam, it doesn't work. It absolutely does. I'm telling you, it does. You have to figure out a few things. God's not an errand boy. We don't snap our fingers and he jumps right to the front. Oh, did you call Master? That's not it at all. He's our Father. He's not our servant. And he loves us and he wants good things for us. He wants us to ask. But when it doesn't work out the way I want it to work out, he'll say to me, okay, who's the Father and who's the Son? And we have to go over a few things. I have to figure some stuff out. Because I'm just like you. I want what I want, what I want. And it's not all. Listen, I'm 66 years old, for goodness sake. I'm not praying to win the lottery. I'm not buying lottery tickets, right? I haven't bought one in 25, 30 years. I don't know. Long time, right? I'm not praying about dumb things like that. And still, stuff doesn't happen the way I want it to. And we still have to come back to this place. Okay, who's God? Who's wise? Who doesn't know anything? Does he love me? More than I love me. And so when it doesn't happen the way that you want it to, I'm not ready to just throw in the towel and give up. I just figure there's more to it than meets the eye. You know what the next verse is? I know I've gone over. I'm going to stop. The next verse is what we call the golden rule. Remember I told you about Jesus going the extra mile and Jesus carrying, if a man compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Remember I tell you, turn the other cheek. Jesus exhibited all that. Now he's going to give us a rule. Does God exhibit this rule? Oh, yeah. Does he want to be good to us? Oh, all the time. Salvation, is that good enough? Oh, yeah. He wants to be good to us all the time. He wants to show us the golden rule. He does a lot more for us than, you know what I mean?